Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. This morning, God, we want everything to be for your glory. We want our thoughts, our words, our songs, our church, our community, our resources, our time, our lives, all to be for you. Everything ours is yours. And we come together to declare this to be so on this Sunday, your holy day. Bless our time together with your holy presence. In the name of Christ. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example and redeemer, the savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer and grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testaments as the sufficient rule both of faith and practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and sacrifice and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society, in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and the life everlasting. Amen. If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the first chapter of Mark, verses 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how Mark describes the first synagogue incident. The people were amazed at Jesus' teaching style. It was unique and authoritative. Add to that the words that Jesus commanded to the spirit to hush and to leave the church member, and it did. Of course, this further amazed the witnesses that were watching nearby. That same day, Jesus was invited over to Sabbath lunch at Simon and Andrew's house. They tell Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law's fever, and in the privacy of their home, Jesus heals the woman instantly. She pops up out of bed, and she starts serving them. We considered how she was saved to serve in that way. She probably enjoyed that service the most. Then, when the Sabbath ended, people started showing up at the gate of the house, asking for a healing, asking for demons to be cast out of them. Also, last week we heard about how everyone was looking for Jesus when he got up early the next morning to go off and to pray. We noticed how lots of people came to see what they could get from Jesus and not what he was offering to them. Yet he met their needs with little expectation of a response from the crowds. I don't watch a lot of reality TV shows, but when I did, I watched this program called Trading Spaces a few times. The basic idea of the TV show is that two people do a makeover on one room of a home. They get the expert help of a decorator and a carpenter and a budget of about $1,000, and they start to work. However, they're not redecorating their home. They're decorating someone else's. Most of the time, the other person is a complete stranger, and the few times that I've seen it, they seem to have less than compatible tastes. They leave their homes for a couple of days and allow the other person complete freedom to make choices. They trade spaces and make changes, improvements. The show ends watching their reaction to the changes. Let me just say that that is not always good. So this morning, we again pick up with the story in Mark, the first chapter. It seems to start that next morning when Simon and the others interrupt Jesus' quiet time. In fact, it is his response to the statement, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus has been alone in prayer in some quiet spot. Even though he has had a long, exhausting evening, he has gotten up before the daylight. He was gone, away, to be filled and to be renewed by spending time with the Heavenly Father. Instead of directly resisting, he basically says, "Hey, I have an idea. Let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I have come." If you've ever wondered why Jesus came, here is a clear statement of the answer. As a Christian, we learn that it is just the tip of the iceberg, the beginning of the mission. He came to preach and to teach to people about Jehovah in a way that humans could accept. He came using the way man has learned about God since the Garden of Eden. He came to preach. His message stated in Mark, the first chapter, verse 15, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." After only one day in Capernaum, Jesus is having trouble keeping the focus on his purpose. It's not his personal focus that's the problem. It's the focus of the people who have witnessed his healing, of desperate people. They want and they need something from Jesus that no one has ever been able to offer. They want healing for themselves, for their family, for their friends. They want freedom in their health without having to offer a response. They have no interest in the good news of eternal healing, of forgiveness of sins, because they're only interested in what they can have and what they can have today. They're not interested in the preaching of the good news. They want a personal stimulus package with no strings. Jesus came to teach that their sins are forgiven and that they can have a closer, more personal, more meaningful relationship with God. And the crowd just calls out, "What about me? Will you heal me?" After the Sabbath, the people had swarmed in with overwhelming needs, and the simple mission of Jesus had veered off track. Why did it go wrong? Jesus had compassion and healed people's physical and mental and even spiritual problems. He sparked a human appetite for more. That's not what he came for. However, it's a wonderful understanding of how caring Jesus, God, is. He had the power and the compassion to meet the needs of the people that came to him. He provided the stimulus with no strings, and instead of the people realizing that God was actively working just as he prophesied, they gathered wanting personal satisfaction for today. So as we picked up in our scripture this morning, Jesus, without any anger, suggests that they head off to other villages so that he can preach. Okay, compared to the "follow me and I will make you fishers of men," does this timeline make it any easier for us to see how men with no directly stated faith can leave their businesses and families and follow Jesus? Don't get me wrong, that action on the fishermen's part is a huge deal. They made a choice that had no clear future, but they have seen some pretty amazing things and they've heard a very unique message. They're leaving their families in a day when the majority lived day to day. The fishing business was hard enough. What happens when you take a few weeks? How about 3 years off? The scripture matter-of-factly informs us that Jesus and his companions move around Galilee, and Jesus teaches in the synagogues and casts out demons. It does not directly say that he healed any natural health issues, just demons. It does not indicate that there are problems with crowds. So Jesus is moving freely into different villages and towns and preaching and carrying out his mission. Then something happens. A man with leprosy comes to him, begs to him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Wow, what a dilemma. What a problem. Imagine reading this for the first time. Do you wonder what Jesus will do? To get the context of the picture, leprosy was very bad news. It could be very broad in spectrum. It could be a bacterial infection that's existed through tumors and sores and have terrible odor. It could be a pain or a person that has lost feeling in their skin or in their limbs. On the milder side, it could be a level of the old commercial that says the heartbreak of psoriasis, the growing patches of dry, itchy, flaky skin that looks ugly but isn't really harmful. If the disease was horrible or mild, only one thing could be worse. Once diagnosed, the person was an automatic outcast. No direct contact was allowed with anyone. No touch of family. A person diagnosed with leprosy was viewed as being directly cursed by God for sin. There was no cure. Therefore, there could be no reconciliation. You could never go home. A leper was required to dress in torn clothes and to cover their upper lip and to stay a certain distance away from people. They could not sit on rocks along the roadsides because they may cause someone else to catch the disease should they sit at the same place later. They weren't allowed to enter a town and never allowed inside the walls of a city. And if they had to travel, they were required to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" whenever people came close. So it was a condition that was repulsive to look at. It was incurable by human means, and there were only two instances of healing recorded in the Old Testament. The disease meant immediate isolation outside of the community. If anyone came into contact with a leper, they were automatically unclean and temporarily isolated themselves. The condition was considered to be a sign of a spiritual problem of sin and punishment by God. So leprosy, it was bad news. Have any of you ever met a leper? It's not impossible. However, it's unlikely because you have to leave the continental U.S. to find it. But I realize that if we look at how lepers of the day were thought of and treated, that we might find people that match a similar situation. In the most extreme of cases, how about a person with AIDS? It's an incurable situation. Many people want them isolated because of the fear of disease. Many, if not most Christians, would automatically consider them to be sinners, and some might even believe that their condition is a punishment from God. What about people with mental illness? That could have similar reactions. How about drug addicts or pedophiles, prostitutes, prisoners? How about a televangelist or a preacher or a politician that commits a whopper of a sin and everyone finds out about it? What about the homeless, the poor? Aren't they shut off from society? How about racially different people? Might we make a judgment call on what they are like? The leper in our scripture this morning knew the rules. He didn't touch Jesus. He may not have even approached Jesus, but he did call out in his isolation to Jesus. Can you imagine how desperate he must have been? How desperate we would be if we were stripped of our human dignity, our home, our faith, our family. This man is on his knees and verbally and visually begging, not for money, not exactly for healing of the physical. He's begging to be made clean. He is begging to be made right with God. He's begging to be forgiven of whatever sin had caused his affliction. If you're willing, you can make me clean. What did he have to lose? Dignity, pride, future, family? Not if you can, but if you're willing. A simple statement of faith and ability of Jesus to make him clean. Jesus' response is described as compassion. It seems that Jesus moves toward the man and he reaches out and he touches him. And according to the law, with the instant flash of a bolt of lightning, Jesus is made unclean. He says, "I'm willing. Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. I love the miracle stories, and I often pray that God will just pick a place and do it again. I want to see the hospitals emptied for 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour. I claim that I want to see that so that others will be amazed. I can't deny that I want to be amazed too. I read this miracle story, and the theater of my mind sees an almost faceless man with Jesus' hand on his shoulder, and with his words, the deformity blends to normality. Jesus makes the man clean by his faith in Jesus, and at the same moment, he heals the physical, visual deformity that made him an obvious outcast. The visual that made people run away or stare with fear is gone. In today's reading, Jesus is said to have given the man a strong warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Go and show yourself to the priest. Go, show, but don't tell. Offer the official sacrifices as a thanks to God for your cleansing and as a testimony to the priest. Why does Jesus avoid credit for the cleansing? First, Jesus wants you to direct the understanding that it is God that has healed him. And as a Jew, the man is required to respond in a specific way. The priest must certify the healing of the man by visual inspection, sacrificial offering, and a letter of clean health. Only then can the man move freely back into Jewish society. Since it's been over 1,000 years since the last leper was healed, he probably needed to look up how to perform this service correctly. When they did, they would connect what this kind of event signaled. When Jesus directs that this action is a testimony to the priest, he is indicating that the cleansing of a leper is a sign in the Old Testament that the Messiah has come. What he did not want to happen was for the focus of his mission to be diverted again. He did not want to be identified because he knew that it would take him away from his preaching. So the cleansed man heads off to show himself to the priest. He must be so happy. He feels like he's going to bust. The smile on his face, the spring in his step. He just can't help himself. He started to tell everyone that he met what had happened to him. Here's a point for you to consider. Here's the story of a man that's told not to share what Jesus did for him. However, he can't help himself. He blabs it all over the place. And later in Scripture, Jesus commands believers to share the good news and to make disciples, and somehow we find a way to keep quiet. I guess it's just an amazing self-control, or is it that we're not amazed by his compassion for us? The last line of this morning's Scripture demonstrates something. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. It seems that as a direct result of Jesus' touch and willingness to heal this man's separation from normal life, he and the man trade spaces. The man goes to town and moves about freely, testifying to what happened. He is rejoined to the community, but suddenly Jesus is forced to stay in the wilderness, avoiding the towns and the synagogues because of the people's response to his compassion. The people with needs still track him down to get what they want. This event in Mark is an example of the exact same action Jesus does on our behalf. The end of his mission on earth includes the trading of places and situations. Our sins and judgment traded for his sonship and eternal life. It's the body of Christ. We're called to have compassion on people that are isolated from community, isolated from a cleansing, healing relationship with God. Sometimes we may be called to trade spaces in order to help someone, but more often we are expected to join people in their space and invite them to move into ours, into God's. Something important to notice this morning, people that are touched, healed, cleansed by Jesus are changed immediately. For ongoing success, people must be welcome and allowed to be a part of the community. The demon possessed was returned to real relationship in the synagogue. Simon's mother-in-law has returned to the family. The leper was returned to all three communities. What lepers will we touch for Jesus this week? How about this month? This year? What outcast will we invite into our community? What worldly deformity will we watch Jesus change into a kingdom normality? Have you reached out to any lepers or outcasts lately? Or have you just walked on by, leaving them isolated and untouched by human hands, and no hope of being changed by the word and touch of Jesus in this world? I invite you to look around you and invite others into your community and into your life, and to turn the life of Christ. All glory be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that the cleansing power of the precious blood of your Son come upon us right now. Purify us and wash us clean with the blood of Jesus from the top of our heads down to the very soles of our feet. Let this blood penetrate the very marrow of our bones to cleanse us from any entanglement, from whatever spirit we may have come in contact with during the course of our intercession. Anoint us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and refresh our body, soul, and spirit. May the sign of your holy cross drive away all evil spirits from within us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.